The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And pleasant Good Friday to all of you. Welcome in. Hope you're having a great holiday weekend. Easter Sunday around the corner, but plenty to discuss over these next couple of hours. Thank you very much. And we get right to it with some very special guests waiting by. Bryce Young, still in the news, battling C.J. Stroud as who will be number one. That is 3 weeks from last night. So it's time to get down to serious business there. Some have wondered about Georgia's schedule, but I don't know why, considering they had Oklahoma on the schedule. The SEC move with Oklahoma and Texas knocked that game out. Their non-conference schedule still weak, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. And it is a new day in Auburn. Tomorrow's A-Day scrimmage will unveil a new coach. And we talk about we've talked about that new coach quite often here. Haven't had a chance to visit with him since he was introduced, so we are delighted to say hello to Coach Hugh Freeze. First of all, Coach, thank you. It's great to see you again, and I hear things are going well. We appreciate you making time for us.
Oh, Paul, it's always a pleasure to be with you, and thank you for having me on. Really can't believe we hadn't done this before now, but thank you for waiting.
Well, we are happy to get into a couple of issues. First of all, since I haven't talked to you since you were introduced on that first day, how would you sum up these last couple of months other than busy?
Yeah, busy for sure. It's been a whirlwind, and obviously trying to catch up with some of the programs that are doing it at the elite level in this conference is you consumes pretty much every bit of your waking moments in trying to do that. But it's also been it's been really fun for my family to all be reunited here on the plains, and I already have one daughter that lived here, and now the other two have joined and their husbands, and so Jill and I are thrilled to have them, and we're closer to our parents also, which is very nice, and they're able to get down and see us a good bit here. So it's even though it's been extremely busy, and it's also full of optimism in my eyes and our staff's eyes with what this place can become again.
And let's talk about that, Coach, because it's not easy. You've been around some turnarounds before and have been very successful, to say the least. Where do you feel like you are, and what do you need to do to make it happen?
Yeah, you know, obviously I haven't coached a game yet, but just trying to compare in my mind what I saw before I left this conference, and obviously watching the games now of the teams like Georgia, Alabama, LSU, those guys that are in the discussions the last few years for the national championship or the SEC championship. I think we have a ways to go. I'm optimistic. I love the culture change that is starting to be seen in our locker room and on our practice fields. I love the way they're competing. But if you just stack up the depth charts, you would have to say that that we have a ways to go. But we've been there before, and I do think this is a place that you can fix that fast. People come to this campus and they're attracted to this place, and we've got the right guys coming to campus as prospects, and I just think the 24 and 25 class will really tell the tale of our tenure here.
Coach Hugh Freeze joining us. Coach, let's talk about the key position. There are a lot of important positions, but it starts at the quarterback position. Where are you, and what could you be looking around for in the future?
Yeah, I have seen improvement for sure throughout our 15 days or our 13 days to this point of spring practice. And there's times that I'm very encouraged and think that we can win football games with the quarterback room that we have. And are there still some inconsistencies, and some have some strengths and some have a few weaknesses? Yes. Are we always looking to improve? Here's the way I kind of phrase it to everyone, because you want to be very careful. These are our guys, and it's they're part of our family now, and so you want to believe and coach them like they're the guy. and you want them to sense that. And currently that is the case. But any coach that would sit on your show, Paul, and say that they're not in the next recruiting cycle trying to always improve their roster would not be telling you the truth. And, you know, we're going to carry four scholarship quarterbacks every single year, and the next year we're going to try to recruit another one that's even better. And it's the same for every single position. And so the next recruiting cycle, whatever that is, we're always looking to improve and to provide competition. And that doesn't mean that the current ones wouldn't win that in the end. But I just believe competition is the only way that you're ever going to be at an elite status if you can create that within your own rooms. And it's you combine that with a great culture, then I think you've got the elements to be an elite program. And that's what we're trying to create here. And the only way I know to do that is through recruiting the type guys that are going to push one another.
And Coach, that portal window opens soon, and I realize it's easier to gauge once things settle down, but is that something that, I mean, I know you have to have your eyes open, but what are your thoughts on when this opens in a couple of days in relation to that position and other positions as well?
We're in the portal business, Paul, currently. We have to be, and this will be the first experience that we've had with a spring portal, and I'm not real sure what that looks like. And, you know, you've got two different ends of the spectrum. You've got your own kids you have to worry about nowadays in roster management. And you also have your eyes open for ways that you think you can improve your football team. And so we're wide open to that part of improvement of our team through the spring portal, if that occurs, to where we think it's a good fit for us and it makes sense for our team. And there are a few positions that we certainly are trying to create more depth at that we need help. And so we're going to be looking. I just have no real way to judge exactly what that looks like until we go through it.
Coach, I know you've dealt with this at Liberty, but in the SEC it's a little more treacherous in terms of your own roster and everyone else's. I know you're prepared for it, but just your thoughts on where we are right now in college football with such unprecedented things happening with your players and everyone else's.
Yeah, I don't think I'm prepared for it. I think I'm very ill prepared for exactly how you go about managing your roster. It's very challenging. And, as I share with recruits at setting our office, you know, this new NIL transfer portal world is changing the character of our game some. And I think the biggest challenge is that it not changed the character of you as an individual. And let's be clear of why and how we make decisions, and because it's ever changing. And it's, you know, whether you're talking collective deals or you're talking your roster, there's no way that it's always going to be fair or the same in everybody's eyes. And managing that with a group of guys that you refer to as your family, and that we got into this profession to kind of build a unit throughout the course of a set of time. And now that's really not realistic. And it's very, very difficult to even speculate as what's going to happen a week from now. And, I'm not a fan I wish we could stop some of the transferring, truthfully, unless you have a coaching change or if you graduate. I would kind of understand those. But I'm afraid, Paul, that the cart has left the barn, and it can't be put back in on that. And so I'm all for, you know, the kids benefiting off their name, image, and likeness. I just think that's a bad reason to choose a school initially. And hopefully, you know, we can find a set of kids that agrees and believes on that. But as far as me being prepared to manage what's coming a week from now, you can draw up every scenario that you want to in your mind. None of them may be accurate a week from now.
Talking to Coach Hugh Freeze here. Coach, you made a lot of the news this week talking about spring games, and everyone has opined on it. For those who have not heard some of your thoughts, what are they, and are they realistic in today's world?
Oh, I had no idea that I was, making national news by just suggesting that we have a scrimmage against another school as part of our spring practice. I'd actually like to do that in spring and one in fall also, truthfully. I think every other sport does it, Paul. I mean, I don't know of another. I know college basketball gets an exhibition game, and college baseball has fall ball, and I don't know that we get enough credit as coaches that we actually do like each other some, and I've heard things like, there's no way y'all could get together and do it. And, you know, like in our state alone, I'm really good friends with John Summerall at Troy and Trent Dilfer at UAB, Kane Womack at South Alabama, Rich Rod at Jacksonville State. I mean, we actually, you know, like those guys a lot. And even Nick and I like each other. And I know that's not a popular thing, but you know, we could honestly pick up the phone and formulate, hey, let's do it this way, and let's protect. I want you to protect our tailback and our quarterback or whoever, and get a lot out of it. And truthfully, I've actually said this before, even when I was back at Ole Miss and through my Liberty days, that I thought it was a good idea. And another reason would be just that I think college football has the capacity to give back to communities and to people that are suffering hard times. And I just think about in this state alone, you know, should us Alabama and the other programs we mentioned, plus the FCS programs and the Division II programs, whoever, if we all chose to adopt tornado victims or the Red Cross or orphan care or foster care or feed the hungry and stock every pantry and shelter in this state, what a difference we could make, you know, in one outing. And I certainly know that I'm not the most intelligent guy, and there's got to be probably a lot of things that people can poke holes in and say that is wrong with it, and they may be right, Paul. I don't know, but my gut, if you tell me I could scrimmage against another team instead of ourselves, where I only have 11 of my guys on the field at one time against their 11, and at the same time benefit some people in your community, you know, I would be for that, and feel like we could figure out how to navigate whatever the other issues are.
Finally, Coach, before you go, going back to some of the things we talked about at the beginning, I know when you're in the middle of a football season and you're playing high stakes, and you make this move, and then you have to transition and recruit and get ready for spring practice, there's not much time to think. Have you had a chance, or whenever you do get a chance, just to think about the journey you've been on and where you are right now? I know someplace you've wanted to be for a long time.
You know, I actually had a discussion with Jill the other night that I don't think we've allowed ourselves even to get to that point yet. I hope after spring ball, because truthfully, we went straight from recruiting, and normally you have a break in February where you can kind of relax and decompress because it's a dead period now. We didn't get that opportunity because we were a new staff, and spring ball started so fast that we had to install with the new staff the entire month of February. And so we really haven't had that chance, and I'm looking forward to getting through spring ball here and the portal window, and hopefully able to for Jill and I and the girls to just kind of sit back and rejoice in how God has blessed us. And at the same time, Paul, I want to, you know, we were so blessed to be at Liberty, and what a great place that is, and we enjoyed every minute of that journey, and was not an easy place to leave, but obviously to get a chance to lead a program like Auburn University with great administrators like, you know, Dr. Roberts and A.D. Cohen, and you know, those guys, the vision they have, and obviously this program has been elite many times. So I hope in the near future, Paul, because, you know, we're all making memories in life, and life is short, as we're reminded often that, and it's probably shame on me that that we haven't kind of sat back and said, just, you know what, thank you. This is such a good opportunity.
Well, Coach, it's always a pleasure to see you. I'm so glad to see it going well, and look forward to seeing you very soon.
Well, Paul, thank you always for having me on.
You bet. Coach Hugh Freeze joining us from Auburn as we begin this Good Friday. And we have a lot more to do as we continue on what should be a busy day, but it's also a holiday, so we'll try to keep that in mind as we roll throughout the afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back here on a Friday afternoon. Amanda Krstovich will join us next hour. Mark Wisner on Georgia and why they ended up with such a poor non-conference schedule. Eddie Conyers is celebrating a birthday. What do you think his years of age is? If you're 94 or below, you're going to be wrong. And it is Good Friday. And the Archbishop will join us with his presence. Until then, your phone calls. And Joe starts it off in Houston. Hello, Joe.
How are you doing, Paul? Are y'all having a good day today?
We are, so far.
I like your weather you're having out there, that we're able to have a good Masters tournament.
Yes, sir.
I was just watching. I went to Good Friday service and came back and was watching Marty and on ESPN, and I was a little bit disappointed when he closed off the coverage, that here was Sam Bennett up there in second place all by himself behind
Koepka.
Oh, what's his name? Koepka. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, here's an SEC guy, here's an SEC guy, and it's staring him right in the face, and there's no mention. Of course, I don't know what he talked about while
well,
I was
let me, let me Good Friday jump service. In here in defense of Marty, because right after, right as soon as they came on the air a few minutes ago, they had Sam Bennett in Butler Cabin and had a long interview with him. And for those who don't
know that.
He's a Texas A&M player who's he's gone low 2 days in a row. He's four off the lead, and he's doing what few amateurs have ever done. So, Marty's simply doing whatever they tell him to do, I can assure you.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right. And I know I'm watching the coverage, so I know what you're talking about. If I wasn't if I wasn't recording it, I wouldn't be sitting here on the phone with you.
Yeah, no, well, so, I mean, but it is remarkable because really most of the attention had been on the Vanderbilt player coming in terms of an amateur.
Yeah.
Bennett was not given much coverage, but he will now. I mean, he is outside of Koepka and you know, the always necessary can Tiger make the cut. Sam Bennett is the story of the day. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. Let's talk to Johnny B., who is up next. Hello, Johnny B.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I look forward to Archbishop being on later. I was wanting to chime in on the part about Hugh Freeze there. I think, you know, he'll probably catch some flag, but I'm on board with that for a couple of reasons. I was really against us taking the big games at the first of the season out of state, either to Georgia or to Jerry World. And, you know, a lot of local businesses are still reeling from COVID, and I think it would be a good impact for local businesses. And then I like his idea about the charities, and I just wanted to weigh in on that and give my two cents worth.
Yeah, Johnny, I think it's a really good idea. I don't think it's going to happen because I think spring games are just a product of whatever the universities want them to be. But there are plenty of ways all these charities can raise money. It doesn't have to be a spring game where I don't think there is that much money to be made. But let me thank you for the call and talk to Alex in Orlando next. Good afternoon, Alex.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. So I had a few questions for you. My first question is, who do you think is going to win in the opening weekend matchup between FSU and LSU? And then if you think the winner of that game will make the playoff. And then my final question is your thoughts on FSU joining the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, I may change. I don't know. I mean, I give LSU a slight edge in that game. But as far as the winner making the playoffs, I think if it's FSU, it could happen. And as far as FSU joining the SEC, not in the immediate future. It's too complicated. I think they would like to, but I don't think they can break away from the ACC without mortgaging the entire university.
Okay. Don't you think it would be mutually beneficial for the SEC and FSU to join?
Well, I don't mean to be flippant here, but I think it would be very beneficial for the for Florida State to work itself free of the ACC, which is going in the wrong direction. But you tell me, being an FSU person, what would FSU bring to the SEC?
Plenty of television ratings.
Oh, really?
We're the most watched team in the ACC, and I'm sure the fans would travel well.
Considering you know, the SEC already has Florida and Georgia and LSU and Alabama and Texas and Oklahoma, do you really think FSU would matter that much?
I think it would. I think eventually we're moving to a super conference in college football, and I think having FSU on the SEC side would be good for everyone.
Well, no, I agree with you. I mean, I'm giving you somewhat of a nuanced answer. I think FSU would be a nice addition, but right now, I don't think it matches Texas and Oklahoma. And you know, FSU is coming back from the dead, but I mean, I don't think FSU is quite as important as maybe some FSU fans think it is. We will take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. Great to have all of you with us here on a Friday afternoon. We've already had Hugh Freeze on. Let's check in with Captain Simeon up next. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
First off, I just want to say how pumped up I am to calling in the show on this fine evening, all right? What I want to talk about, Matt Rhule, offensive guru, all right? He is going to transform this program into something we have never laid our eyes on before.
Logan is up next in North Carolina. Sometimes you just have to do it for their own good. Logan, good afternoon.
That guy got the gong, didn't he? Wow.
We renamed that. It's called the AJ now.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Quick switch. Paul, I just wanted to say I liked how you cut FSU down to size. I could tell that fan was thinking it was going to be something beneficial to the SEC. If FSU came in right now, I think it would be equivalent to something like Arkansas or South Carolina when they came into the league.
Well, to
I don't see them making
of the ACC schools, at least Clemson brings you some recent cred. FSU doesn't.
Exactly. I mean, they do have some national titles recently, and they are still in the playoffs, well, playing the ACC schedule. But, Paul, I didn't know. I missed some of the Hugh Freeze interview because I tuned in, and there was some baseball on, so I grabbed my radio real quick. But was it just me, or does he sound like he's really trying to taper down expectations for Auburn in the spring game?
No, I think Hugh Freeze just sounds like a guy who doesn't know what he has. He's used to better teams than this, I think. I thought he was very transparent.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's being truthful because the two guys they have, Finley and Ashford, if they're going to be the starting quarterbacks, then they don't have anything. Do you know if there's another quarterback in the mix other than those two guys?
Yeah, there's another guy, but I think what Hugh Freeze is really saying is he said we're in the portal business, meaning we are going to take someone in the portal if we can get them.
Okay, well that'll be reassuring to my father. He's a Auburn fan, so he's freaking out right now about the quarterback situation. So I'm glad to hear that. Well, Paul, thanks for taking my call, buddy. Hope you have a great weekend.
You bet. Will is in North Carolina. Will, thanks. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. Really enjoyed Hendon Hooker on yesterday. Appreciate you giving him a spotlight.
Thank you. He
big
was great.
Braves. Yeah, he was. Braves fan. So last night was the home opener, and Stetson Bennett threw out the first pitch, and it was way wide right. So go figure.
But it could have been worse.
Yeah. I mean, he's no Jim or anything, but I mean, he needs to stick to football.
Has Jim thrown out a first pitch this year in one of the big league parks or not?
No, I think he's thrown a couple no hitters actually. Happy Easter! Can't wait for the bishop to be on. But Paul, since you're living in North Carolina now. You know, Antique Roadshow is coming to Raleigh in May. I was going to see if you loan me one of your books to take to get an appraisal on. Or either you or Randy come with me because y'all are antiques.
Yeah, I'll let Randy go. He's closer to the end than I am. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Lakeisha is up next. Hello, Lakeisha.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing? I'm excited. This is my second time calling into the show. I called in the other day. I just want to chime in on the Auburn situation. You know, we just have to be patient with Hugh Freeze and the Auburn staff. I think they're doing the best they have with what they have. I believe that the portal will be a good thing for them to explore. It's pretty slim pickings in the portal. You know, I was checking out 24/7, and it may help out if Mr. Freeze had probably looked toward the Pac-12. Maybe towards like quarterbacks or people in the defensive end or tackles or linebackers. Because, you know, just looking at, you know, the schools out there and what they have to offer and the players, I believe that if he looks towards, like I said, Washington State area, I think that'll be a good area for him to explore. Like they got a quarterback that's available, J.P. Zamora, and I was looking at offensive linebackers. They got this guy named Moon Ashby, which I think is like a diamond that's in the rough. A couple years ago, I think he was in the Polynesian Bowl, was an all-star. But the guy's explosive. If you know, Hugh Freeze can explore probably Moon Ashby or the quarterback, like I said, from Washington State. And even if he looks towards Troy, I think they had like a guy who was a four-star ranking named Peter that may be available. Just, you know, it's, you know, the portal is good, but like I said, slim pickings because most everybody has already picked who they wanted to pick. But I think that Auburn, we just want to have to be patient as fans because you know, he's in a rebuild stage. It's going to take a couple years for him to rebuild.
Lakeisha, really, fantastic point. Thank you very, very much, and look forward to chatting again soon. Raj is in Texas. You're on the air. Hello, Raj.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hello, Paul. I just wanted to talk to you today about Arch Manning and the quarterback situation at Texas.
Yes.
What do you think about the Texas Longhorns bringing in Arch Manning, and do you think that he has a chance to beat out Quinn Ewers for the starting job?
Raj, I don't think so right away. I think Quinn has established himself. I think he's a really good quarterback. I think it's going to take a little bit of time, but I think it just depends on how well the Longhorns are playing. If they slip up somewhere, and they have a challenging schedule at Alabama, at Houston, the usual suspects everywhere else, I think you might see him come in. But I do not believe he'll be the starter at the beginning of the season.
Great insight, Paul. I believe that Arch Manning is a very talented football player, but in my opinion, I think that Quinn Ewers has the job, right? He has proven himself as the worthy starter, but Arch Manning does have a chance. If Quinn Ewers starts playing awful or below the standard of Texas football, then I believe Arch Manning will get a shot, being his uncle's Arthur Manning, and they showed him the way. Super Bowl winners, right?
Correct. Listen, Raj, thank you. Appreciate the call. We have some more time for you to get in and some lines. The lines are here at 855-242-7285. Plenty more to do, including some guests in the next couple of hours, the Archbishop in the final hour. We have already spoken to Hugh Freeze. We're back with your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I know I'll be alright tonight if you roll me up. It's a movie. We know how to party. Oh, yeah. It's a movie. We know how to party. Oh, yeah.
And don't forget the premiere of Rally Cap this Sunday, 5 p.m. And we welcome you back here on a Friday. We talked to Hugh Freeze earlier, a couple of ideas he had about spring games. Does anyone really want to see, first of all, do you really want to see the spring game? I guess you do if you're a fan, but do you really want to see anyone other than your own team? Isn't that the purpose of a spring game, to go back to your school, the school you're a fan of, and get a good look at the players and have fun? Do you really care that much about a game? I'm not sure I really understand. I mean, I know what Freeze said, and there's some benefits of it from a financial standpoint and a charitable standpoint. But I asked the question: are these games really that important? Do you want to go see? It's not like you're seeing your team scrimmage a good team. You're more than likely going to see them scrimmage. If you're Auburn, you're going to play Troy. If you're Alabama, you'll end up playing North Alabama. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, I don't know if there were legitimate games tomorrow, there would be that much conversation about it. I just asked a question. To me, spring is just it's for fun and frivolity. It's, let's get your kids, your grandkids, and make a trip back to Knoxville or Columbia or Starkville or anywhere else, just because it's normally a pretty day and you get a chance to get a quick look at the quarterback situation. But you know, would you get as honest a look if it was a game that somehow would matter? Just a question. Anyway, back to the calls at 855-242-7285. Let's check in with Ronald, who is in Birmingham. Hello, Ronald.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm calling now. I am a huge Alabama basketball fan. But I'm just calling as a whole. Do you think the transfer portal is doing damage to college athletics? Like right now we have, I think, about 1,000 kids that's in the transfer portal in basketball.
I do not think it's doing damage, Ronald. I mean, I think it causes issues for respective coaches, but it also gives you opportunities, and in basketball especially, because one player in basketball can make a significant difference. I mean, we saw that in the tournament with San Diego State, with Connecticut, with Miami, countless other schools. So I think it's an opportunity for players, if they're not going to play, to go somewhere else. I'm a big believer in that. Now, it creates chaos and it takes away from what we're used to, which is getting to know the players over a 3 to 5 year period. But that's just the new normal, and it could be managed better. But I don't think it's going away.
Okay, so do you think it need to be regulated?
Well, the only thing you can't really do anything more than put restrictions in there right now, and right now the restrictions are you have a designated period, like in football. The window opens here in a couple of weeks. It's a finite window of about 2 weeks. I think the problem last year was it was just endless. You could go; it went on for an indeterminate period of time. The most dangerous window is right after the season, where you're trying to recruit, you're trying to get ready for a bowl game, and your players are being poached right out from under your nose.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. Appreciate it very much. Reverend Phil is up next. Phil, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I want to talk about something that doesn't have much to do with sports. Has that ever happened on this show before?
But today would be the day for that.
Okay. No, my parishioners have this kind of endearing but challenging habit of giving me books that they want me to read because they mean something to them. And so I often have this stack of books that I'm trying to get to. And I pulled one off this week. And it's by a guy named John Archibald. He's a columnist for the Birmingham paper.
Yes, for the Birmingham.
And I just wondered.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just wondered if you knew him.
I do know John very well. He's very accomplished. He won a Pulitzer Prize a couple of years ago. I have not read his book, but I know it came out about 2 years ago. Have you looked at it?
Yeah, I just started reading. I'm about a third of the way through it. It's a great book.
I don't remember what it was about. I know it was about something from a historical standpoint in Birmingham.
Yeah, I mean, it's about Birmingham and its role in the civil rights struggle,
right.
But it's more so about his father, who was a Methodist minister. And when John became an adult, he began to feel some frustration that his father had never spoken out about it. And I mean, he loved and respected his father greatly, but then came to realize he didn't fully understand him. So, yeah.
Phil, let me ask you a question. I'm not laughing because it's a serious issue, but how many times have you heard someone say something very similar to that?
Oh, 1,000 times.
Yeah, I think that's one of the, I joked, and it's really not funny because I lost my dad at an early age, but I always felt like I was at a disadvantage as a writer because I did not have that tormented relationship with an alcoholic father. Because that is the root of almost every journalist I know. But and I'm not saying that in a disparaging way. It's a fact.
Well, I do. I mean, you know, I often wonder for my own children. Any if you're a public figure in any way, your children know you differently.
Oh, sure.
At home, that everybody else. Well, they think they know you.
Well, Phil, we're about to run out of time, but we could do an entire hour on that subject because it is so interesting in relation to ministers and their children. Everyone's got a story, including me. We're out of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.